Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin. If you're looking for a dull, feel-good religion, or clap your hands, sit around the campfire, kumbaya, you've come to the wrong place. We are dealing with toxic levels of authentic masculinity. I would say good luck, but luck is for pagans.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. We have upgraded our studio.
To a card table.
Last couple weeks, we've been just...
You know what? It is...
it is nicer.
We've been sitting on this uber fluffy couch
that just makes you sink into the
it's like one of those couches is nice, but the pillows like the shift around on you too much.
Yeah,
this couch was left here when we bought the place.
They were like, you know what, it's not worth us moving it downstairs.
Yeah, and it was like, all right, yeah, you can leave it, I guess. But it does have, it's a metal frame in there, so it is heavy.
That's why they said, like, yeah,
that, no, yeah, that's exactly right. But anyway, we've just been sitting on this couch holding
the microphones
on like sort of a little,
like it's
a
2013
stick or something. Yeah, which, so this now we're on this card table which we got from my in-laws. This card table could be older than us.
We've upgraded to more like a 2016 setup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair 2016
podcast setup.
Yeah,
dude, there's so many things. Last week I kept wanting to talk to you about. I was very selfish last week because it was like, bro, I haven't talked to you in a while. I have like 17 things I want to talk to you about.
And we can't talk about these things just like regular people. We have to do it on the show.
Well, I mean, we both have been just so busy that we haven't really had a chance.
True that, man.
But it's good to get back into seeing, you know, back into the game and back into the podcast. And you know, last week we talked about, I had a crazy week this week. We talked about, you know, kids climbing trees, and one of my kids fell. I'm not going to say the name, just
one of your children.
One of my children fell out of a tree. It was somewhat serious. He's okay, but
it was very close to being.
It was very close to being very bad. Multiple hospitals. Anyway,
it wasn't a broken bone. It was like
no broken bones.
The skin got ripped off of his arm.
Yeah, and it was like very close to arteries.
In a very bad spot.
And veins or arteries and nerves. Anyway, it's been
pray for your child.
Yeah, just my family in general, because you know it's also been tough on Haley. I mean, she's been like we're
you guys
to
are
move.
In a brand new house.
Yeah, we still have stuff in boxes. We're trying to figure out like where are the Band-Aids. I don't even know where the Band-Aids are in this house. You know, like
dude, there's no way a Band-Aid was gonna solve your problems.
No, not at all. But like, I don't know where one is.
Right.
You know, still,
if you did need one.
Yeah, if I did need one. So we're still,
because you got to one hospital and they said, "Oh, bro,
we can't
handle this.
Yeah, we got to take you to another hospital."
I thought that they were going to need a skin graft.
Well, they said, like, the first hospital said, "Oh, we can't handle this. You're going to have to go to the, you know, fancy hospital, kids hospital, because he's going to need surgery." And
yeah.
Anyway, so it's just been a tough week for the Minahan house. But there's still been some great wins. We had the opportunity to talk about guardian angels at dinner time, which is really great. Had some great questions.
Because your child's guardian angel was totally on the job.
As they always are.
Totally, yeah. But manifesting their skills.
Yeah, and so it gave us an opportunity to talk about why do we have guardian angels? What do they do?
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously brings up questions from like kids, like why can we not see them? Like are they right next to me? You know, there's actually some pretty kind of philosophical questions they were asking about, like Does it mean that the guardian angel is over here or over here? Or like, where are they? Why can I not see them?
Yeah.
All great questions, especially coming from, you know, 6, 7, 8 year olds.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff like that's a good lead into, yes, guardian angels help protect us physically, but that's really not even their primary job.
Right.
It's more about protecting you spiritually, yeah.
And then talk about, you know, death and body, souls, and, you know, we're body, soul composites, but angels are not, you know, and anyway.
But just the irony that we were just talking about, hey, you got to let your kids climb trees.
Yeah.
Last episode.
And then.
And you know what? It's still true. You do need to let your
still
kids.
Still do. Yes.
But actually, we had some good, ironically, good guardian angel questions at dinner this week.
Really?
My daughter, Elizabeth, and I don't know what prompted this. She was just, I don't know if she heard about this idea somewhere, but she said, Dad, can you send your guardian angel
places?
Like to go, like watch over somebody? And so we had a good conversation about that, about, well, like, well, you can ask your guardian angel to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Especially if it's something specific, or you can have your guardian angel talk to their guardian angel about it, you know? Or,
yeah, I've said this on the show many times, but whenever I have to go into meetings that I'm tense about, or like knowing that I'm going to go into confrontation with certain people, I always ask, or I try to ask my guardian angel to help their guardian angel ease their heart, you know, and give them a sense of peace and mm-hmm. receptivity into what we're going to be talking about.
Man, it's objectively, I mean, it just in my own experience, my own day-to-day, the outcomes are objectively higher when I pray about a situation first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just recently, I was going to have a meeting with a client. I didn't feel like the meeting was, I was kind of worried that the meeting was going to be not a great meeting.
Yeah.
Some clients are just never happy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know?
What?
Yeah. It's just the way it is.
Those are the only clients that
I only get, yeah. I mean, there are some guys who it's like, once you get to a certain point, it's like, hey, if you're not a happy client, go find somebody else.
Yeah.
You know? But
I made you 78% on a return on investment this year, and you're not happy. You can.
Well, NVIDIA's up 200%.
Yeah.
Like, well, fine.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Please keep my.
But, you know, I like prayed about it. And then the meeting went great. It wasn't at all like
what
I was worried it was going to be. So,
yeah. But if you do have questions about the Catholic faith, about guardian angels, about angels in general, now is the time to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. We have Dr. Aaron Henderson, who's been on our show before, but he is a theologian. And we have an Ask Him Anything section on our Patreon. And it's been, people have been asking questions. He's dedicated at least an hour a week to answering questions from our patrons.
He's awesome.
Yeah, very balanced, very, very strong.
And we're like keeping him to ourselves because he's one of those guys, you know, once people find out about him.
I know.
Then he'll, yeah.
And then we have our Leisure, the Basis of Culture study guide to work through if you want that. And we have another study guide coming out for another paper book here pretty quick. You also get the Catholic Man Show Glencairn glasses. I mean, there's a lot of different benefits you get to supporting our show, and it helps us possibly get another studio here pretty soon.
And here in a few weeks, I'm going to be speaking at the Catechetical Conference in the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Largely on the topic of leisure, since you brought that up.
Oh, sorry. Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your talk title?
I don't have the title yet.
Oh, okay.
So
sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah. We're still so far out.
It's like weeks away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm very excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
it seems like it's going to be an excellent conference.
Yeah, I'm really glad you got the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, bring our book.
I will.
Yeah.
So,
we also had Orpington's Dye this week.
You did?
Lavender Orpington's Dye, yeah.
Which is why?
They just died. They just looked very sickly.
The chicks, yeah, yeah.
You
know
tried
what, man?
To do the whole like
when I have a chicken die,
like you know, feed it through the little tube thing. And
when a chick decides it's gonna die,
it dies.
It's just gonna die.
It's just gonna die. Yeah. So that was also, you know,
I found the same to be true with pigs. When they just decide that they're gonna die, just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Stop it.
But we still have like 15 or 16, so.
Do you still have more Orpingtons?
No. All of our Orpingtons died.
Gosh. You know what? When I lose a chicken, very often, at least half the time, it's an Orpington.
Really?
Usually it's them getting eaten because they're nice big, I mean, they look delicious. Obviously like, yeah, I'd want to eat that chicken.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're very fast. And I think that they're kind of, they tend to be friendlier. Mm. So they're not skittish, which doesn't work out for them in the predator world.
Do you have cameras all around your house, like hunting cameras?
Not hunting cameras, but I have security cameras.
Oh, well, I was talking about your property.
I have one out by the pond.
Okay. Yeah, I started putting one out. Actually, I have two out right now, just to see what the wildlife is like.
Yeah. Yeah, so I put one out. I got it for Christmas, and it's been really fun to watch. Is it a cell one? No.
Oh, dude, sell's the only way to go.
Well,
I know you have to pay for it, but it...
Well, so we do every Sunday we go for a family walk after Mass, and so we walk right by it. And so it's just it's just another fun thing to do. Like, hey, let's see if we had any wildlife.
Yeah, that's cool.
At this point, I know what it is. We have coyotes, bobcats, skunks, and then
raccoons.
You know what? We don't have raccoons. I've never seen a raccoon.
Really?
Never seen a raccoon on my property.
Wow.
On camera or otherwise. Which honestly is fine with me, because they'll mess with your chickens.
Yeah. Dude, we're dealing with we have crazy infestation of wasps at our place right now.
Dude, don't even talk to me about that. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's like a wasp mecca up in this place
it's
right
ridiculous.
Here.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But really, they're not that bad. We'll be right back.
Men, have you checked out Exodus 90 lately? If you've heard of Exodus 90 before, you're probably thinking cold showers and Lent. But the Exodus 90 app offers so much more. It's a daily companion to help you grow to closer to God and to become the man you want to be. This summer, I'm following along with the app's daily scriptures, reflections, and prayers. It's awesome. On the app, you can join the Enthronement to the Sacred Heart, the Exodus 90 Summer Book Club, and St. Michael's Lent, which starts August 15th and leads up to the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 29th. St. Michael's Lent is an ancient tradition of prayer and fasting popularized by St. Francis in the Middle Ages that's been lost in our time. Let's bring it back. Join the men of Exodus 90 and four Carlos Martins, Catholic priest, exorcist, and host of the Exorcist Files, who will serve as our spiritual guide for St. Michael's Lent this year on the Exodus 90 app. We will awaken to invisible realities and enter into the spiritual battle that rages around us all the time. Go to Exodus90.com for a 14-day free trial to the Exodus 90 app and to learn more about St. Michael's Lent. That's Exodus90.com to join us for St. Michael's Lent starting August 15th.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan.
Per usual.
Things are right in the world. Dude, we have our camp out coming up.
Yes, so, the last weekend of September. It's probably... The camp out is probably one of the biggest highlights of our podcast.
I definitely think it is, which is weird to think about a podcast having like, oh, what's the... Best thing about this podcast? Oh, it's a camp out.
Wait, you guys record every week the whole year? And you're saying the best part is one weekend?
But it really is. We have our camp out at Clear Creek. For like new listeners who don't know about our camp out, we spend... It starts on Thursday afternoon, goes all the way through Sunday out at Clear Creek Abbey, which is it's just an amazing place. These monks are incredible.
Benedictine monks.
Everything's in Latin. It's like it's very old school. They are very close to being 100% self-sufficient. at this abbey, and they're just exploding. Like they are busting at the seams with vocations. Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible place, and so we just get to go out there. We get to meet our listeners.
They have to meet us.
They get you get to see how we're like just really pretty regular.
Yeah,
really good at cornhole though,
dude.
I feel like we're pretty good at cornhole.
We're one of the best.
Yeah,
and we have food. We have great food. We have great drink. We have whiskey. We have cigar rolling. We have just so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, singing live music around the campfire. It's one of those weekends where you realize the importance of friendship. Like you, mm-hmm. it's just like the importance of friendship manifests into like this reality of yes,
yeah.
I am made for communion with other, you know, I'm made to be with others.
And we have made real friends.
Right.
On this camp out. You know, some of the guys have been coming year after year. And it's just
some haven't, and you're due again.
And you know what, man? Almost every year, there are a couple guys who come not, you know, because a friend brings them,
right? And have no idea even what our show is about.
Like have had, yeah, exactly. Who have never even heard of us,
yeah.
But almost every year, we've had somebody like that who has had some major conversion experience.
Praise God.
Who just like being around other men mm-hmm. and seeing, oh. Like you can be a man and be like really Catholic, and actually that's what you just see how that all jives and how it works, and you're there with all these monks who are doing the same thing,
right
just being like super men,
and you see
and uber holy,
right? You see the attractiveness there, right?
Yeah. So bring somebody, bring a friend, because yeah.
And if you're a patron, it's free.
That's right.
That's like one of the like we pay for all the food, all the drink, like we pay for almost everything once you're there, which it's one of our biggest expenses of the year.
Yeah.
But it's very well worth it.
Oh, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we have not even discussed our drink this evening.
Oh my gosh, dude. We're having a fantastic dram tonight. We're having we're actually revisiting the Laphroaig Carchus.
Which means what in Gaelic?
It means friendship in Gaelic. Laphroaig, this is the Laphroaig friendship. If you're looking for it at the store, it's hard to find. You got to look for it at the right time of the year, like spring. Springtime is mm-hmm. typically when it comes out. Don't look for something that says Carchus, okay? You want to look for something that's spelled more like Caridas or Caridius.
Because that's
but
what
it's
it
Gaelic,
like.
Right. So it's Carchus, because, you know.
And this one is the white port and Madeira.
But it's different every year. So the right. Carchus, they do something new every year. It's almost always fantastic. Right. There's only been 1 year.
It's an annual tradition.
Only 1 year that I can remember where I said, okay, you know, like it wasn't quite my thing. But every year it's just amazing.
Yep.
Laphroaig is always good anyway.
Absolutely. And we'll have some at the camp out.
So, cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers. Have we done that? It seems like we haven't actually cheersed on the show the last couple of times.
I don't know. Maybe I think we did.
Okay.
So
we just haven't been on schedule. Like,
dude, so, everything's in chaos. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Because we haven't been.
Where's the stability around here?
Yeah. Okay. So for those who are just new to the show. What we used to do when we first started this show, we would have the first segment that you just heard. We're a radio show as well. We're syndicated on like 23, 24 different Catholic radio stations across the world, across the U.S.
You can say world.
Yeah.
That sounds better.
Across the U.S. So that's why we have hard breaks. You know, that's why you hear music coming in and out compared to regular podcasts. But we also used to have the first segment would we talk about the drink. And the second segment, we'd talk about a man gear, which we haven't done that in
years. Dude, I just
years.
Asked just this week. I asked ChatGPT, said, tell me about the Catholic Man Show. And it still says, the first segment is a drink. Second segment, they talk about a gear.
Nice.
I was like, ChatGPT, come on. We haven't done that in years.
You need
you're supposed to be smart.
Yeah. And then we'd talk about a topic. But yeah, so like that's what we used to do. We kind of nixed the gear. Felt forced at times.
You know, we've evolved.
We've evolved.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say, as far as homesteading stuff goes, is I'll be slaughtering a pig this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that.
You're going to be here.
I'm going to be late, though.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll be here.
But I'm excited about it.
I'm also excited. I'm also very nervous. I have done... I've slaughtered pigs before.
Right.
But I have never
we
been...
We took a class on it.
That class was like six years ago.
Yeah, that was. But you know what? You should go back to our Patreon account because we posted the video of how to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. I will. Actually, I probably won't because there's much shorter videos I can find still by Brandon Sheard. But I've never been the one like in charge, you know, about all right, now we're doing this. Now we're doing right. It's like, hey, this is, in the past, it's always been your pig. I'm here helping. Like,
right. However you want to do it.
I'm a sturdy hand with a knife.
Right.
You know, like
there's more degrees than a thermometer on this gig.
That's right. But anyway, I'm super excited because we're going to be trying a lot of stuff for the first time. In an attempt to harvest the entire animal. Yes. You know, like right off the bat, we'll be collecting the blood. Right. You can make blood sausage. Then we'll be, you know, doing the offals. And
do you have scalding cups? Like scraping cups?
Yeah.
Where'd you get those?
Amazon.
Oh, nice.
Dude, Amazon has everything.
Yeah.
If you're okay with buying stuff from China, there you go.
Okay.
Which sometimes I am.
That's where they make stuff.
So anyway, that's going to be great, I think.
We'll see. Yeah. I am going to be in Steubenville on Friday. If there's anybody here in Steubenville want to hit me up, let me know. I'm going to the Hallow Summit. The Hallow app.
Cool. That'll be cool.
So I'll be there. So if you're around, love to catch up or meet or whatever. Also, I do have to plug St. Michael's Lent. It's coming up August 15th.
Yes, dude.
With
you know what? I feel like a lot of people. There's last year. I was really pleased with the enthusiasm behind. Yeah. There was a lot of people I felt like who came out of the woodwork for St. Michael's Lent. And this year is the same thing. I've already had several people message me saying, hey, let's do St. Mike. Let's do
it. Dude, have you read the disciplines yet?
No. Are they good?
They're good.
Yes. I'm going to have to check them. On the break, I'm going to have to go look at them.
Yeah. Download the app, xs90.com. Download the app because there's something new that was highly debated. No, I shouldn't say highly debated. There was conversations.
This is inside baseball stuff right here.
Inside baseball. You know, because I work for xs90. But there was strong talk about what these disciplines should be this year.
Strong feelings on both sides?
Yes.
Just we say a lively debate?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say debate, but like conversation.
Lively discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we erred on...
the side of boldness. I can tell the look on your face. You erred on the side of boldness.
So we'll see. Hey, listen.
I like it.
If it's
good.
If it's not like
Exodus 90 is not. It's not for unboldness.
Yeah. It,
Exodus like, 90 is for boldness.
Yeah, because you know why? It's boldness requires uncommon freedom in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, don't you want to be bold in your like? Don't you want a bold Christianity? Don't you want a bold faith?
Don't you want
virtue that's bold?
Right.
Like. It takes bold action to do and achieve those things.
So it's interesting. Anyway, go check it out. I'll let you guys figure out which one I'm talking about. It'll be pretty obvious once you look at it. But xs90.com, download the app. You get 14-day free trial right now.
Is it like sleeping outside on the ground?
No. But that would be also a good one.
Yeah, except your wife might not think so. But
or maybe she would. So tonight, I was really excited whenever you sent me the email about the topic tonight. So we're talking about guarding the intellect.
Yes.
Which is, I was thinking about this once I realized this is what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Dave, I think in coupling with like taking your prayer life seriously, this concept has I've seen more increase in like growth in spiritual life than probably anything else that I have done.
Yeah, it is. It is just at the end when these things all come together, we'll see why. Because it's you can't flourish if you're not doing these things.
It curbs your curiosity.
It does a lot of things. Curbing your curiosity is definitely one of them.
Not your enthusiasm, your curiosity.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. So we're talking tonight about guarding the intellect. And before we, like, this is your topic, Dave. So you have a whole full of bullet points. But I just want to, like, talk about how I have found that guarding the intellect has changed in my life once I started taking this principle seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens whenever I start, like, when you start praying, like, take your prayer life seriously and you have a daily prayer life and you desire to only do what the Lord wants you to do, you start realizing much more of the hierarchy of things that are you're called to, the hierarchy of goods, like things that you're called to do and not called to do. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked several times on the show about how, you know, on our day of judgment, we will look back, you know, and Jesus will show us everything and how much time we have wasted. Like, yeah, the things in which we thought we were enjoying, and he's going to look at us and say, look what I wanted you to do, and we chose to do something else.
Right.
Not that.
Maybe we didn't realize, but you're following your passions, you know, and right, your appetites.
Right. And so a lot of times, like, what I have found with guarding my intellect, specifically when infused with a daily prayer life, is that I have found that reading things, so to speak, is so much less important than just loving. There are times throughout the Catholic Man Show, it's like, I need to read the next thing. I need to read more St. Thomas Aquinas. I need to read more of Augustine. I need to read more of St. John. Right.
You want to know all the stuff.
Know more. And like, yeah, it's like the next time it's like, oh, I just need to read more. I need to read this person. I need to read this person. I need to get their insights, which is good. It should be done. This is like, the virtue of studiositas.
You do need to do that.
Yeah. But what I have found,
you need to continue studying anyway. You don't need to actually read everything.
Right.
But you do need to
continue, like, pushing yourself.
Have the habit of study and studiousness.
But what I have found more is that I have learned, just like whenever, like with kids, you have them read fables, like you have them read things with the imagination, like so that they can learn, like what's the principle of this story, like what is the right moral of this story, and like they can relate to it more. I have found that This really piggybacks off of last week when we were talking about, you know, trying to keep Mary in front of your mind at the whole time. It's like I have found the more that I focus on just loving. I have deeper insights when I actually go and read.
Mm-hmm.
And when I focus on seeing that person in front of me, which I'm terrible at. I'm just terrible, like, because I'm, as we all are, we're busy people. Like, I'm just very terrible at this. This is something that this is new to me, but I have found that the more that I can stop and like love more when I go back and read, I find that it has a deeper penetrating effect on my soul. And yeah. And what it does is, because guarding your intellect, like, what you want to do is, like, you want guarding your intellect really has one purpose, and that's uniting your will to our Lord's.
Correct.
Right. And so what happens through prayer, you have a relationship with Christ who tells you to go and love your neighbor as yourself. You start loving more. You end up uniting your will closer in line with God's. And so you have a less of an appetite for those things in which used to draw and like consume you, or like tempt you, or right. like the bright shiny lights over here. That's like, ooh, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. Or even not even bright shiny lights, but just something like, oh, I want to see what this means.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you've tasted finer fare, it reorients. Whoa, what is it that you desire? Right. When you have tasted the set, like that which truly satiates your desires, you begin to desire other things less, because you realize that
Eros.
they don't. Right. It is the Eros.
Hashtag Harrison Garlic.
That's Archdeacon to you, sir. So, what we're going to be reading today, this is from the Philokalia. I feel like I've been pulling a lot from the Philokalia lately, but it's
phenomenal.
They're volumes of books that are just loaded with, it's just pure wisdom, mm-hmm. right? Most of it is from, you know, the third through sixth century. They're not necessarily doctors of the church. A lot of them are Eastern writers, but they're saints. So today is from St. Isaiah the Solitary, who died somewhere around the year 489.
We don't know exactly, because he was in...
He was by himself. No one was actually there. Actually, it does say he died 489/91. So it was like 489 or 491. Like, it's like that was...
That's a wide range.
Was that like when somebody saw him? It's like somebody saw him in 89. Could have been right after that. The next time someone saw him was in 91, and he was dead. So like, we know he died somewhere
in
between.
This range.
I don't know what the story is. Yeah. But,
they didn't have carbon dating back then.
You know. So. Also, like, yeah, they didn't write stuff down very much. Whatever. So this is him. He actually lists 27 texts or 27 little
roses.
Kind of like just like little points on guarding the intellect. So I didn't want to go through all 27, so I just kind of picked a handful of them here.
27 of them. Here we go. Buckle up.
Yeah. I hope you're ready.
Yeah. Poor Dram. Yeah,
you better sit down. And just the first one, this is actually the first one he opens up with, and I thought, like, gosh, this one really made me stop and think and really ponder.
Okay.
Because it's about anger. And not what you think. He says, there is among the passions an anger of the intellect. And this anger is in accordance with nature. Without anger, a man cannot attain purity. He has to feel angry with all that is sown in him by the enemy.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so what he's talking about is, I've heard people talk about Mary's hatred. Mary had
her sin.
Yeah, Mary had a hatred inside of her. She hated sin.
But it says he has to feel angry with all that is sown in him
by the enemy. So the enemy constantly is at work in our souls, right? Mm-hmm. Tempting us, offering us pleasures, offering us, you know, things that will be a distraction from the intellect, right? Wanting us to follow our passions. show, they're the ones, he's the one showing the bright lights you mentioned, right? And so this is, you know, especially these days, you know, the where men are not encouraged to be masculine. You know, anything angry is always, anger is always considered bad, okay? And I think most of the time it probably is. But to be, what he's saying here is if we want to truly be masculine in accordance with our nature, if there is an anger, we actually ought to be. Holiness requires an anger and a hatred of sin, for instance, right? And of temptations. You know, and you could certainly factor in righteous anger, right? Where you see, if you witness something, someone being picked on, abused, whatever, you know what I'm talking about, that if those things don't make us angry, it's a deficiency, okay? Because mm-hmm. some things ought to enrage us.
Well, it's a lack of justice otherwise.
Right. If we have been so pacified where evil doesn't anger us, then you're in a bad spot.
Right.
Right? And yeah, so, yeah. And it's interesting that he brings this up as the first thing in guarding the intellect. He doesn't just talk about, you know, being, this is like how to be ordered in virtue or whatever. He's specifically talking about the intellect. The very first thing he says is that you ought to be angry about the things inside of you that are sinful. And you need to basically
go,
you
know, to war with,
like,
that.
God gave you passions. He made us, he made men passionate. It wasn't just so that you could subdue them, okay? It's so that you could harness them. Okay? Some of them need to be subdued, but some of them need to be just oriented correctly. And that's what he's saying here, that take the anger that men have this potential for and point it in the right direction. Point it squarely at sin. Point it squarely at the things that are detracting from your own holiness
mm-hmm.
and from the holiness of people around you, the people that you're in charge of.
Yeah, I mean, St. Alphonsus Liguori picks this up, right, where he talks about, like, attacking one vice per year. And if uh-huh. you do this, you know, like, how holy you
in
actually
20 years,
becomes.
Yeah, 20 vices.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right, and so, like, go to war with this one, like, what's the one that, like, you fall, you succumb to yeah. the most. Okay, whatever that is, lust, anger, pride, gluttony, you know, whatever it is, go to war with that for a full year.
Mm-hmm. And then also next year when you pick another one, don't give up any ground.
Right, yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that. So the next, okay, we're coming up on a break.
Thank you, Catholic Radio, for picking up the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah. You're about to hear... about to go to a break, and here's a message from your sponsors. That's
from
the phrase.
Your local sponsors.
From your local sponsors.
Support your Catholic radio stations.
That's right. You know what? Catholic radio has the best commercials. It's about stuff in your diocese that you probably like.
At least in Tulsa.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about guarding your intellect. We're pulling this from Isaiah the Solitary, St. Isaiah the Solitary, of the 5th century. 5th century fame. I don't know, could you be famous in the 5th century? I bet you could. You could. Well, there's always people who are famous.
Famous is a much different term.
It wasn't worldwide, but still. So we were just talking about anger and how to, and the kind of, it's just not a very popular, not heard of very often. That's the word, his advice on
thought
anger.
Process.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. It's like, thank you for coming to my rescue there. Yeah. I really wanted to say something good.
I gave you
could see it.
Yeah,
I know. You could see it in my eyes. And it's like, and you're thinking maybe he's got it. Maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe give him a second. He's not. No, not this time.
Unique thought process.
Thank you. Okay, so the next thing he says is that if your heart comes to feel a natural hatred for sin, that it has already defeated the causes of sin and freed itself from them. And he says that we should keep hell's torments in mind. but know that your helper is always at hand. I really like that line because I just think it's so balanced between don't get overly focused on the negative, because Satan wants you to be he would love for you to think about him all the time.
Yeah.
And there is a benefit from being aware of and meditating on the consequences of hell. But you want it, but here he says it just very plainly. Keep those torments on your mind, but know that your helper is at hand.
Right.
Just that's the balance right there.
I mean, this is a really good callback to earlier when we were talking about our guardian angels.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Who are God's gift to us,
right,
to, you know, be a constant intercessory avenue for us.
Yeah.
The next thing is that he says we should shut the gates of our soul, that is the senses, so that they do not lure us astray. And I just wanted to make the comment about this. Like, I was meditating on this and just thinking, like, you know what? Obviously, we know we should practice discipline and we should live an ascetic life. But it was just making
discipline.
Thank you. It just made me think about having a discipline for each sense. Like, okay, I'm gonna discipline my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, have I disciplined my sense of smell? Have I disciplined like my desire for touch? Every single sense, you know, like, and just thinking about that in a very specific way, really made me realize, like, oh man, you know, there are a lot of things. There's a lot more things I could easily be doing, just little things. And because those little things, they're reminders. Okay, those little bitty offerings about whatever it is,
Did you ever feel like, or do you ever feel like the times in which you're tempted with whatever it is, eyes, touch, smell, hearing, whatever it is, like, you almost know, like, I'm about to be tempted by this, and it almost feels like, it's like
you like it.
I know that it's going to happen, and I just like can't do anything about that.
Oh, I've had moments like that. I've had moments too where it's like I know I'm not going to fall into this sin. I'm kind of like just enjoying being tempted by it, you know.
But that's not guarding your intellect.
No, that's exactly not guarding your intellect. That's throwing your intellect under the bus.
Right.
Okay. But. Yes, I've had those moments where
the reason why that happens, though, right, is because your will is not willing to recognize, like, nope, this, or you're not, no, that you are not willing to recognize this is a bad thing, and you've not disciplined your will to be able to throw that away, to not recognize it any longer.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely a lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Or muscle, you know, but, like, discipline doesn't just happen because you want it to happen. First you need to desire it, and then there will be a struggle.
Have you ever felt like there's times where, you know, like, let's say it's Monday, and it's like, you're on Wednesday, you know, like, there's going to be a situation in which, you know, the stars are aligning on Wednesday where there's going to be an opportunity for me to sin in one shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very hard for me to resist this sin.
But you carry on as if like, oh, I won't do it.
I won't do it. Yeah.
No, I won't do it. But you kind of know.
Yeah.
I probably will. I have just found in my own experience through my own life, my ability to change my mind can be rather like shockingly quick, you know? Nope. I'm not going. Oh, I will.
David Niles, turns out I have strong opinions.
It does actually turn out that I do. It's a thing I learned about myself this year. It's been a big year.
Yeah.
2024. It's been a big year. Big year for David Niles.
Yeah.
Self-reflection.
Figure it out. I have strong opinions.
But I just like this idea about disciplining every single one of our senses.
Yeah.
You know, because we do it with food a lot. And even the eyes, you know, having custody of the eyes, that's something people think about. But I don't think we often think about disciplining what we hear. I mean, that's kind of like for little kids. You know, you hear those songs, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's like a little kid song about that. I've had to listen to it in the car. It's a good message, though.
What key is it sung in?
I don't know. Okay. You can sing it in any key. I mean, any one.
All of them.
Pick it. You can do it. So St. Isaiah goes on to say that the demons cunningly with sometimes when we go through periods of success, that the demons will cunningly withdraw for a time in hope that we will cease to guard our heart, thinking that we have now attained peace. Then they suddenly attack our unhappy soul and seize it like a sparrow.
Gosh, have I ever, like, there have been so many times. I like, to the point where it's like, Adam, you are such an idiot. I cannot believe you're falling for this again. Yeah,
this is what they do.
Yeah, this, like, there's
you
so
many
times. You
even know this is what they do.
There's so many times where I felt like, you know what? I have conquered this sin. Like, which is, just by thinking that, it's like, clearly, this is not the case.
The devil's you know, going like, yes. Yes,
yeah, because it's like, there's nothing you're doing, bro, that's making you conquer it.
Don't you know that, like, I just, like, I believe that there, it's very possible, we have a guardian angel assigned to us, that it's just like in old cartoons, that there very well likely could be a demon assigned to us as well, right? And I know that, like, that demon, he just laughs at me.
All the time.
Like, he makes fun of me a lot. When I sit down to pray, he just knows all I have to do is like propose this like other line of thought to him, and he is totally off for like 15 minutes not praying.
Right.
Now, the joke is that that demon knows it was still my intent and earnest desire to pray, so right. I still get credit for praying.
Right.
It's not as quite as efficacious, right? Right. But
that's why, like, whenever I go to adoration in the mornings, like on the way, on the drive in, I like hype myself up. Like
punch yourself in the face a little bit.
I really get like really get myself focused on like, hey, this is gonna be tough. Do not give ground. Mm-hmm. Like, do not allow yourself to not focus on.
You
our
stare
Lord.
Jesus in the face like, the entire time.
I actually don't. I don't do that. I find I don't have custody of my eyes well enough to where. There's some people who can like look at the Eucharist.
Yeah, I actually close my eyes. I alternate.
I have to close my eyes a little bit because I will sit there and look at the montrance, like trying to focus, like looking at Jesus in the face, and like sort of thinking about like, how many jewels are around that thing.
Yeah,
is that 12?
But you know, like you're not looking at him in the face.
Well, looking at him,
it's not really his face.
Yeah. But looking at him.
Yeah,
and then I start like, 12. I wonder if it's because it's 12 apostles, and it's like. Well, you know, like,
oh,
then,
yeah.
And it's like,
and the demons, they're like,
boom, all of a sudden I'm thinking, like, is
you know, the demon,
a color? Or
demons are all brilliant. They're all geniuses, I mean, by human standards.
Right.
And so they're very good at proposing the easy.
You know what? Not that I have custody of the mind any better. Like, I'll sit there and close my eyes and be like, no, I'm
that's why I have to, that's why I oscillate. That's why I go back and forth. Okay. That's what I have to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so
but I do like on the drive into the adoration in the morning, and I have found that this helps, is like just recognizing like this is like gonna be tough, like this
self awareness goes
like,
a long way.
I like because I know I know I have this thought process at work. I know I have this thing within my family. I know I'm frustrated with this friend. I know that I have to have this conversation later, and they're all gonna be not fun. Or, you know, frustrating or take a lot of bandwidth, mental bandwidth.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not going to allow those things to penetrate this time.
I will crush these things.
I will give them to our Lord.
And he will crush them.
Yes.
And then we'll both crush them. Because he's like, he's going to be like, you did it, bro. Jesus is, you know, like when your kids are helping you, like, make pancakes. That's like Jesus with us. He's like, oh, you helped.
Look at this pancake.
And I'm like, yeah, I helped. Jesus and I, we just defeated all these people. And people, like, the angels are going like, Jesus, like, why are you
allowing this?
Like, you know he didn't do anything.
He actually did bad. He put salt in it. And
he was getting in the way the whole time. Yeah. And Jesus is like, I know, but he's so cute, you know. That's what, maybe we'll see. We'll see what he's actually like. It's probably terrifying. Okay, so the next thing that he says is that I entreat you not to leave your heart unguarded so long as you are in the body. Basically, he goes on to say, like, look, as long as you have a breath in your body, like this is exactly what you were just talking about. As long as you breathe, do not let your vigilance fall. Okay, because you're capable of incredible sin. You're capable of great sin. If you are not dead, you can still commit mortal sin. And never forget that, okay? Because otherwise, you let your guard down, and that's, you know, just like what we were talking about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. Check out our podcast. Download it. Subscribe. If you're interested in supporting and getting all those free cool things, go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow.
Yeah, if you want a free ticket to the camp out, go become a patron.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. So I really like the next one. This is like, oh, dude. And he offers, what was funny about this, a lot of these like bullet points, they're in kind of bullet point fashion in the book. Mm-hmm. And he'll give commentary on them. This next one, there's no commentary. It's just it. He just says
this,
it.
This is
he just, he, you know what? He says it and he walks away.
Yeah.
He says.
Somebody, never mind.
Don't do it. I know what you're doing. Don't do it. But yes, I was also thinking.
I was guarding my intellect there.
Yeah.
In a very weak way.
Where's the coats? But anyway, he says, he who receives no help at peace. There's a typo here. He who receives no help when at war should feel no confidence when at peace. And then he walks away. He says that and just goes on to the next point. No commentary. But I like have been thinking about this and I really liked it. He who receives no help when at war should feel no confidence when at peace. So this is about pride. If you feel like you can win your battles on your own, okay, and I'm not like, nope, I got that. I'm the one. I can handle this. Mm. I don't need God. Like, I don't need, you know, if you have a lack of humility.
Right.
Then you should be really worried when things are going well. When you think things are at peace, that's a bad sign. Because you feel like, oh, I'm earning this. I did it, right? That's exactly what the demons, and this is kind of coming right off talking about, oh, yeah, like, be careful, guard your heart from the demons. You know, they're going to come back. They want you to make you feel like you're winning. And then that's when he brings this next one. So I think it's the commentary has already been, you know, what he's just been talking about. But I just thought that was a really good line. He who receives no help when at war should feel no confidence when at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good reminder that we must and we have to constantly, in all things, little temptations, and that's the thing, is there are little temptations that you might not feel like I need to pray for divine assistance to overcome, because I can say no. Like, my own willpower can say no to this. And the thing is, you can. There are things where your own willpower can say no. But the demons know if they can promote in you a habit of simply relying on your own willpower to say no to these things,
yeah.
Okay, that is a habit that they can use to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so even in the little tiny temptations that are things that I'm not going to do that. That's, you know, like, there are hopefully sins in your life that you have conquered, right? And you'd no longer struggle with, right?
The Lord has conquered for you.
That, yeah, exactly. That, you know, you in cooperation with the Lord's grace have overcome. Okay, that's great. But you still, when those little temptations come up every now and then, you still need to pray earnestly for God's grace to say no to these things and you move on with your life, right? Because if you, once again, now if you are not asking for help at war, you're at trouble when you're in peace, right? So we must constantly be vigilant and humble.
Yeah, I find, again, this goes back, and maybe this is just because, like, my lack of, or my elementary aspect of the spiritual life and what happened last week is, like, the more that you are in tune with reality and, like, are being able to live in reality at the present moment, the more you realize that every moment is so precious, the time that God has given you is so precious, and is made for a specific reason to glorify him in all the things that are that you do. And the more that you waste or blow them, or the more that you squander these graces, the more that you're going to look back at someday and be like, I cannot believe I did that. Mm-hmm. Like, how foolish am I?
Right.
That where I felt like I was at peace. I felt like that everything was going great. I was just like coasting. And I look back and realize, like, I do this all the time. Like, I did this last month, literally. Like, I felt like, look at all these things that are happening great. And then I look back and be like, well, Adam, you weren't even, there were times where you were not even, like, you were holding things away from God. You were holding these moments away
mm-hmm.
from him. Like, how stupid are you? Like, you're not living in the moment in which God has given you. You're not living in reality. This is why poetic knowledge is so important. This is like, the more and more I realize.
Experiential knowledge.
Like, the more and more I realize, like, the importance of understanding what is happening right in front of you, having experiential knowledge, understanding what that means, to have a good imagination, to be able to ascend, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. It's the value of wisdom.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else to say about that.
The next one is, we've talked about a lot. Examine yourself daily in the sight of God and discover which of the passions is in your heart. You know, if you're not, it takes a, honestly, there's a little bit of fear in the examination of conscience. Like, you have to be willing to just, It is almost like charging into battle. I've had moments in my life. In fact, some of the most significant moments in my life. There's one moment in particular where I had this realization that up until this moment, unbeknownst to me, I had been intentionally avoiding a specific topic at prayer because I was worried that God was asking me to do a specific thing. And I didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like I was, it's strange that I wasn't even really aware of the fact that I was intentionally avoiding it. Because you think if you were doing it on purpose, you would know that you were doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wasn't. Because there was this, I was afraid about this. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, almost like, oh, there's this idea that is occurring to me. It's like, oh, no. I'm not going to think about that or while I'm praying, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not going to talk about that because, you know, that's just an idea that came mm-hmm. and whatever. And like, stuff, you know, you have ideas when you pray. And so, like, that kept happening. And finally I realized, oh, this is something that keeps coming up. This is something that the Lord is asking me to consider. And I've been avoiding it because I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this moment in prayer where I had to just really be honest and upfront. And it took courage to say, Lord, I feel like you might be asking me to do something, this mm-hmm. thing, and I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to do this. But I told him, but if you want me to, I will. I just want you to know I'm going to be pissed about it. Okay. I'll totally do it, but...
Begrudgingly.
Yeah, exactly. But you have a willing heart from me.
Right.
Even if it's a little bit of a sour one. And then, you know, it's like, the funny thing was after that, the thing that I had been worried about just totally went away, totally dissolved. And it became... I haven't had many moments in my life where I felt like I had a very clear insight into what the Lord wanted to teach me. But this is one that I did. I felt like I really knew, and that it was the Lord telling me that he just wanted me to, that he could see I was holding something from him.
Hmm.
That there was something that I wasn't willing to surrender. And so he asked it of me simply that so I would give it to him. He didn't even want me to do this particular thing. He just wanted me to give it to him. Right, he just wanted me to be. He wanted my heart. He wanted my willingness. He wanted my fiat, my yes.
Mm-hmm.
that he could see I was withholding, right? I didn't. I wasn't aware of it. So when we do this examination, and if I had been better at examining myself at that point in my life, I think this would have come up sooner. I could have, you know, I would have been, wouldn't have had to go through this trial. A trial I'm very thankful for, because it was an important moment to me. But
yeah,
it's a story for me that really demonstrated the importance of having a constant examination and being willing to say yes mm-hmm. to the things you might be afraid of, because very often we're attached to things. In my case, I was attached to my job. I was attached to what, you know, like my idea of my own future.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to give that up.
I think all of us have done that in one way, shape, or form.
Right. The thing I was worried about, I don't know why I didn't say it. I was worried that God was calling me, that he was going to call me to full-time ministry. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to have to quit my job. You know, the future I had envisioned for my family, I was newly married at the time, that, oh man, I'm going to have a totally different life. Mm-hmm. That I had a good plan mm-hmm. for myself, right? Mm-hmm. And so he just wanted me to be willing. He just wanted my willingness, but it honestly was kind of frightening to have. I was in adoration when this happened, to be able to say, all right, God, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And I was very happy that it went away. But I would have done it. That's the thing, is like it was an honest yes at that moment, you know, in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So having that examination, it's one of the most crucial things, right? You know, let's see.
Again, another thing, shout out to Exodus 90 for instilling that as a discipline.
Yes, like, right.
Because that's one of the things that it calls out every night, is to have a nightly examine of your day.
So let's just do a couple more here. He says that the first virtue in guarding the intellect, so this is the first time he brings up like a actual virtue. The first one is detachment. That is death in relation to every person or thing. So he basically says you have to be willing to like offer these, you know, every relationship you have, everything you have, offered as a sacrifice. You have to be willing for it to die. Holy detachments. That's right.
Which we've had a whole episode on that. You can go back and check that out.
So the thing that I mentioned this earlier, where it's like at the end, we're going to see how these things are. I just really, in meditating on all of these in preparation, these texts, I think, really show the interconnectedness of our passions and our intellect. Because if you notice, these are all of these things were about guarding the intellect. Almost none of them were about the intellect. They were all about the passions. You know, very, very few of them were like, oh, you need to make sure to read this much time. You need to make sure that you've studied. You know, like none of this, how do you guard the intellect? It has actually very little anyway to do with the actual intellect. The way you guard the intellect is with the passions, is by subduing these passions, according to St. Isaiah here. And so it just was making me think about, like, you cannot have a pure mind if you don't have a pure body. And you cannot have a pure body if we don't purify our desires. So first, we must make sure that our passions are ordered in the right way, that we're guarding mm-hmm. our hearts. What, like exactly what you said at the beginning, Adam, about love, what is it that we're loving?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are we giving our hearts to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's going to whatever we give our hearts, that's our body is going to follow. And if our body goes there, so will our mind. So that's the only way to guard the intellect is by guarding the heart. And, you know, as you were talking about, like, just focusing on love, it was making me think about how charity is the perfection of the mind and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
A person who has charity, who has caritas, love, has a perfection of the mind, because they have right understanding. they see rightly about what goods are, right? Mm-hmm. And that the human soul, you will encounter nothing in this world of more value than another than a human soul, mm. right? And that simultaneously, they have perfection of the heart as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just thought that was a perfect thing to bring up at the beginning of the episode about.
Unscripted.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I got. Any final comments?
I thought you did a great job tonight.
Thank you. It was not me. It was St. Isaiah the Solitary. He had a lot of time to figure it out.
Hey, he had a little time.
He was just like
to work through just some like, of these you topics.
Know, didn't have like you know people to talk to and stuff. So go get. I mean, really, the Philokalia. Fascinating. It's really great text.
There's four volumes. I think it's like $100 or so.
And there's a PDF online. So all of our notes today are copy and pasted from the PDF because it's word for word.
But it's worth having in your library.
It is totally worth having. Right. You should have it in your library. They're like having the physical copy is way better. Anyway.
It's good hanging out, man.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.